The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. The mother of Jesus and his brothers arrived at the house. Standing outside, they sent word to Jesus and called him. A crowd seated around him told him, "Your mother and your brothers and your sisters are outside asking for you." But he said to them in reply, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking around at those seated in the circle, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So good morning, brothers and sisters. Welcome, welcome. When Jesus says, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother," there's some context to those words that you might find interesting, okay? You might find this interesting. So the mother of Jesus and his brothers arrived, and the crowd said, "Your mother and your brothers and your sisters are outside asking for you." Who are these people? They're Jesus' extended family. And they have traveled from Nazareth to Capernaum, where Jesus is. Now, just as an aside, the Hebrews used the word brother and sister for everything. They didn't say aunt, uncle, niece, nephew, cousin. They just called everybody brother or sister. Case in point, you might remember a week or so ago, we had a gospel and had Melchizedek. I'm sorry, a first reading had Melchizedek in the first reading. And you might remember, if you heard me, I said, you know, Melchizedek, he was related to an incident with Abraham. Abraham had just rescued his nephew who had been captured in battle. His nephew's name was Lot. But the book of Genesis doesn't call Lot his nephew. He calls him his brother, but he wasn't. Abraham was his uncle, but they just called everybody brother. So please, when you hear this brothers and sisters talk here in the gospel, please don't misunderstand. Jesus Christ is the only son of the Blessed Virgin Mary, conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. Mary and Joseph had no other children together. I just want to make that very clear. Okay. But they've traveled from Nazareth to Capernaum. And why have they traveled? Why are they gathered at the door? Have they come to become Jesus' disciples? No. The Gospel of Mark itself says they've come to seize him. They've come to capture him and bring him home. Now, St. Joseph has long since died. And Jesus' senior uncles and cousins consider that Jesus is part of their family and under their charge, and his behavior reflects on them. And they have traveled from Nazareth to Capernaum to bring Jesus back home to the carpenter's shop in Nazareth where he belongs. He should be there making tables and chairs and not gallivanting about with lepers and tax collectors and prostitutes and the demon-possessed, not to mention arousing the ire and the suspicion of the religious leaders and giving all of them a bad name in the process. Because you have to understand one thing about ancient Jewish society. Family was unspeakably important. We don't really have that in our society. Our society will go down in history as the one in which the individual was unspeakably important, but that was utterly foreign, not only in the history of the entire world, but certainly in the case of the ancient Jewish people. And you were only an individual in a Jewish society in as much as you were a member of the family, whose customs and obligations and authority governed every aspect of your life. Right? So they've come to bring Jesus back home, back under the authority of the family. And that's the background that makes Jesus' words here in this gospel so utterly revolutionary. Who are my mother? Who are my brothers? Whoever does the will of my heavenly Father is brother and sister and mother to me. Please understand, no one has ever spoken like that before. Where family comes second and the will of God comes first. Utterly revolutionary. You know, I was in Rwanda. I was up in the hill country in the mountains in Haiti. And you know, I had a decent amount of time in the developing world. And one of the things that I've noticed is this concept of family is still very, very strong. You won't find homelessness in Rwanda. You won't find homelessness in a village in Haiti. You know, if you got nowhere to go, your most distant, however distant they might be, relatives will take you in, right? We don't have that in our society, but they certainly had that in Jesus' society, and he completely upends that. Here's Jesus saying, this is the exact same Jesus who once said, whoever loves father or mother or brother or sister more than me is not worthy of me. Don't misunderstand. There's nothing wrong with loving your brother, your sister, your father, your mother, your family. Unless you attempt to do the impossible, which is to attempt to love them more than you love God. That's not even possible. And Jesus tells us that. Utterly revolutionary, and it's a reminder to us, you know, in our society that's gone so badly astray. And it puts tensions in families, doesn't it? Where does your first loyalty lie? If you want to really love your family, please remember, you must really love God first. Jesus has two families, two families. He has a family by blood and he has a family by grace. He has a family on earth and he has a family in heaven. And of those two, which is the more important? I hope you know that it's the family by grace. It's the family in heaven. That's why St. Augustine once said, the Blessed Virgin Mary was more blessed by being the disciple of Jesus than she ever was for being the mother of Jesus. So a little gospel to remember to place our priorities straight. And there's no other way to love God and to love others. And it's why we must mean what we say from our hearts, what we said in our psalm response. Here I am, Lord. I come to do your will. Let's ask for the prayers of the saints to help us to do that. St. Francis de Sales, pray for us.